It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. You may know Jonathan Overby as the host of WPR's The Road to Higher Ground World Music Program. That airs on Saturday evenings on WPR's News and Classical Music Network. This evening is the first event that's part of a new project, the Odyssey Series Live. It centers on sacred world music programs. The events are open to the public so people can explore pathways to understanding of varied cultural, spiritual, and sacred traditions. Ideas Network producer Judith Sears-Poisson spoke with Jonathan Overby about the project.
Where did the idea for the Odyssey Series Live come from?
Well, it's an outgrowth out of the Saturday night broadcast celebrating world music. And several years ago, I had the idea that perhaps there's something more important than just the music. Perhaps there's a pathway to better understanding the diverse groups that live here in Wisconsin. So I determined that it was music that could help us better understand Wisconsinites and the diverse communities and groups that reside right here in the Badgerland.
As you've been looking into this, what have you found? How music and faith and world perspectives and beliefs fit together?
Well, instead of using the word faith, I use the word spiritual.
Hmm.
And in many cases, I use the word sacred, because in some traditions, what is sacred is not something typically associated with either faith or liturgy or some setting in which people gather, like many of the major religions in the world. And so I look at sacredness as, for example, when people gather together to have conversation every day, and it becomes part of their ritual. It becomes part of celebrating that community. And they tell stories, and they sing songs, and they relate to each other, and they talk about how their husbands are off fishing, and they've been gone far too long, and they wish they were home, and perhaps their kids are bad, and they're washing clothes, and it becomes something they do every single day. And that experience draws them together as a community. And so that, in my view, is very sacred, because it's tradition, it's edifying, it celebrates that group and that community.
Often when we use the word sacred or hear it, we think lofty, we think almost unapproachable. And what you just described is really the fabric of the most common shared human experiences.
Well, it's the commonalities and the unique embrace of traditions, and it can be both. There's nothing unsacred about higher deities. In this case, what I'm proposing and what my research has discovered, some of it flawed, but much of it very consistent, and it says to me, the communities that I visited throughout the world, that the deepest held sentiments about groups all around the globe are found in their sacred traditions, spiritual, communal, ceremonial, and, of course, those things that are rooted in what we term traditional liturgies. And that is much more encompassing, much more celebratory, and I think it's edifying. And I think if we look at those elements of how people embrace tradition, we'll find there's a pathway to better understanding each other. And I think that's what music does. It allows us to hear, to grow our ears, and to learn more about diverse communities here in Wisconsin and the world.
We all grow up with a particular angle of culture that we are steeped in from birth. What traditions, what musical expressions of the sacred have you encountered in Wisconsin or around the globe that have really touched you, that are not something that came from your own background and your own experience?
To get out of my own way was an issue. To set aside my biased interpretations from the beginning, to look at how other people perceive the world, life, each other, those who are different, that's part of the challenge. And I think that's what's important about understanding people who are different, is to see them not as the stranger, but as the friend. And so that is the challenge for all of us, to get beyond our own expressions, our own traditions, how we grew up, whether it was in a traditional church or something that people see as the other, and embrace them all in the spirit of good community.
Of course, it's wonderful when we can really, like you said, do research, delve into backgrounds and different concepts and expressions than we might know ourselves personally. But is there also something to be said for when you encounter something that is different and new to you, just kind of letting it wash over you and kind of feeling it as something new and exciting?
Well, it's okay not to feel it. It's okay not to want to endorse it. What is not okay is to ignore it or to marginalize it. So when you listen to a piece of music, you may say, ah, it's not my favorite style. But to have some understanding of what that particular piece of music or the genre of music represents is very, very important. Because what people tend not to understand, they marginalize. And what they marginalize, they often hate. And what they hate, they turn their back on. And in some cases, we found tragically, they kill. So the mission in part of the series is to get beyond the exclusionary ideas that are polarizing, nationalism, racism, gender discrimination, xenophobia, transphobia, and religious intolerance, to say that if we want to contribute to humanity worldwide, we must set aside our hatred. We must work to try to better our communities and our nations by struggling to do away with the disease of hatred and to seek a binding cure. And I think that cure, in part, can be found in sacred traditions associated with music.
We're talking with Jonathan Overby. He's host of WPR's The Road to Higher Ground World Music Program that airs on Saturday evenings from 7 to 11 p.m. on WPR's News and Classical Music Network. And he's with us right now to share information about a new project. It's called the Odyssey Series Live. And what are some of the specific topics that you plan to delve into through this series? Because these are huge global concepts that we're talking about. How are you bringing those to life, to people?
Well, they're not huge for the community that is being celebrated. It may be huge to those who've decided that this is the limit of what they're going to define as sacred. However, there's an opportunity when you explore to find the commonalities, to look at things that exist in many of the major religions and most of the religions around the world: hospitality, love, respect for the stranger, meaning the person who is different. And these elements and many, many more exist in most of the world's religious traditions. But I also say it must be something that is rooted in good. It must be something good rather than an expression that tears down other people. That is not part of the focus of the series. The series is going to look at women in music and how the role of women have helped to change the landscape of music making, looking at traditions that were secular moving into sacred traditions. We're also going to have some Hindustani classical music, which is very, very old, and how that particular tradition in Hinduism and other religions helped to define humanity around the globe.
And what do you hope people who are able to interact with the Odyssey Series Live will take from this into their own lives and into their own sacred traditions?
Hope is an extremely important thing to consider. But at the root, it is about embracing. So if you want and have a desire to learn about others, then you must meet those people where they are at in many cases, and not assume that they can look different, but they must act like you and I act. That is not inclusion. That is not a celebration for others. And so part of it is to grow our ears, to grow our eyes, and our sense of what represents good. In many traditions, there's such a polarizing effect of, if you don't believe what we believe, then you're something very, very bad. And I think that's dangerous. I think it's disrespectful. And I think we can do much better in our effort to celebrate people around the globe.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Ideas Network producer Judith Sears-Poisson spoke with Jonathan Overby about a new project that he's created, the Odyssey Series Live. The series includes a look at how women in Eastern Europe created secular songs that morphed into sacred music. You can get more information about the series on the Higher Ground show page at WPR.org. And here's a bit of world music to start your morning. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.
Sahara hai tere pyar ka dil ko.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We make a lot of cool things in Wisconsin, and now there's a contest to determine which is the coolest. The coolest thing made in Wisconsin, put on by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, is in its third year, and it gives people the ability to vote for which thing made in our state is the coolest. We'll find out how the contest got started, the kinds of things entered, and who the finalists are. for this year's program. What do you think are some of the coolest things made in Wisconsin that we might not know about? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
So the WMC is holding a competition for the coolest thing made in the Badger State. So before we talk about the finalists, tell us what this competition is all about.
Sure. Well, this contest, as you said, we're in our third year, and we partnered with Johnson Financial Group on this program a few years ago, really, as you said, to find the coolest thing that is made in Wisconsin. And we've had so much fun with this contest. There are so many different things that are made in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, we really have a vibrant and amazing manufacturing sector in our state, and we just want to get everyone from Superior to Kenosha, you know, Milwaukee to Platteville, just every single different part of our state. We want to know, you know, what's made there. What are all these folks who work in manufacturing and different industries making in our state? And it's a really fun contest, gets people involved all around Wisconsin. And so far this year, we've had over 150,000 votes. We had about 160 nominees. And it's just been a great contest. And we, again, really, really big thanks to Johnson Financial Group for helping us put this on.
So how does the nomination process work?
So we started all the way back in August, actually reaching out to folks and trying to get them to, just say, you know, what is made in your hometown? You know, where do you work? What do you make at your job? And folks could go to madeinwis.com and nominate literally anything that is made here in Wisconsin. As I said, we got about 160 nominees, and those were from every corner of the state. And once we got past that nomination period and got into September, then we actually started the voting process.
So let's define the term cool. What do we mean by cool here?
Oh, I mean, if you look at the 160 nominees that we had this past year, there are so many different things, whether we're talking about custom food carts that are built up in St. Germain, Wisconsin, custom yachts that are built in Manitowoc. Here in the Madison area, one of our finalists, we have CC Moo that makes medically adaptive clothing for kids who need feeding tubes. I mean, there's so many cool things made across the state of Wisconsin. If you look to the past 2 years, we had Oshkosh Corporation won last year with their Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, one of the military vehicles that they build for the military. And then we had the year before Harley-Davidson and their Milwaukee 8 engine for their motorcycles. So we really do make some cool things in Wisconsin.
What is the most unusual thing that you've seen nominated so far? I mean, I just was looking at some of this stuff and I thought, wow, you know, that's really, I had no idea we were making that.
You know, because there's 160, it's hard to really pick just one out. I would say some of the more interesting ones that I thought is we have a few folks in Wisconsin who are amazing metal fabricators. There's some really great artwork and things that are made. As I mentioned earlier, those food trucks that are made up in St. Germain by Caged Crow Fabrication, they take old school buses, old Winnebago trailers or anything like that, and they make it into these food trucks. I think one that they're actually making right now is going off to New York to help foster kids actually learn how to cook. So it's a program that they're doing out there, and they're building the kitchen. It's a mobile kitchen for them. But also things that I had no idea before we started this contest. Philadelphia cream cheese is actually made in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, and none of it's made in Philadelphia. So I think there's a lot of things that maybe you don't really think about that you might use every day. That is made right here in the Badger State.
The world is full of irony. And I noticed that it's not, when we say the definition of manufacturing may get a little bit of wiggle room here, because there were baked goods, there was at least one beverage, and so, you know, it's not just something that you would make in a factory.
No, we're not just talking about machinery or metal fabrication here. I mean, we really want to see what is the coolest thing made here, and so mm-hmm. One of our finalists is Uncle Mike's Bake Shop. They make a sea salt caramel pecan kringle. They have a few locations up in the Green Bay area. If you ever have a chance, go there and get some. It's absolutely phenomenal, and you will not be disappointed. But also, as you mentioned, we had some other food and drink products. Obviously, a lot of breweries around Wisconsin that were involved in this contest. And then we also had Claire Brune sparkling water. They had a new flavor, Bucky's Cherry Berry, which they were kind enough to drop off at the WMC offices over the last couple of weeks. And it tastes really great, and obviously a really good option if you're trying to get away from soda a little bit. You know, that sparkling water has some great flavor.
Well, Sarah Hopeful, one of our producers, is a big fan of that sparkling water, so she was pretty excited to see that on the list.
I say I should have brought a few over.
And some of that Kringle, too, although it wouldn't have done me any good in Superior, but that's okay. I'm trying to cut down on Kringle. This is maybe a touchy question, but being that it's Wisconsin, for people who've never experienced the state pastry, what is Kringle?
So there's actually a little bit of an argument here, because Uncle Mike's, they use a specific definition for Kringle that may be different than our folks who are down in the Racine area. So typically you have the more oval-shaped, really thin pastry that has some fruit or pecans or something on the inside with a little bit of frosting on top. Uncle Mike's, which is, as I said, up in the Green Bay area, they go all out. They make it in a pretzel shape. And so that goes back to some of the more European style Kringles that that were made hundreds of years ago. And it's a little bit bigger. It has a little bit more filling inside and some more frosting and stuff. So there's a little bit of a debate between the folks who make Kringle on what is real Kringle. But both of them are the state pastry.
Okay. And again, you know, I mean, it's interesting that a bake shop became a finalist. And so your definition of manufacturing is it's made in Wisconsin then.
Exactly. And we're looking to folks all across the state. I mean, obviously we have a lot of food manufacturing that goes on in Wisconsin. And so while Uncle Mike's might be a smaller company, you know, they're obviously making a lot of Kringle up in the Green Bay area. But also you can look to folks like Sargento over in Plymouth, Wisconsin. They make a crazy amount of cheese there. And last year they were actually one of our top 16. With their balanced breaks, which are small little snack packs that you can have with cheese and nuts and some dried fruit. And so, you know, there's when you think of manufacturing, there's such a vibrancy and diversity out there in the state of Wisconsin. And it's really, I mean, we make so many different things. This is what this contest is all about.
We're talking with Nick Novak, the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, about the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. The next group we want to talk about is CC Moo LLC in Stoughton. Tell us about this manufacturer.
So this is actually just a really great story about a family who had a newborn and realized that because of some medical issues that he was born with, he was not able to eat like the rest of us would and needed a feeding tube. And so one of the issues that you run into with a small child who needs a feeding tube is that you have to feed them every hour. You have to put this tube into a small area next to their stomach, and you have to undress them to get everything put together. And if they're sleeping, it really interrupts their sleeping pattern. So this family right out in Stoughton, they came up with this medically adaptive clothing. It has a small little zipper right on the side of the onesie, makes it so much easier. That way the kid can continue sleeping, and it's really helping a whole lot of families throughout the country, and obviously helped out this family quite a bit. So we have been announcing each round as we've been going on. We've been announcing these on the WMC Facebook page on via Facebook Live, and Kurt Bauer, our president and CEO, he's been saying every single time they move on that necessity is the mother of all invention, and this is definitely true in this case, and obviously a really great product that's helping a lot of families throughout Wisconsin.
What are the what criteria do you need to meet in order to be entered into this competition?
So it's a very simple contest. We really just ask that A, the product is made here. So the company, it doesn't need to be headquartered in Wisconsin, but we do want to have the product that is nominated to be physically made in the state of Wisconsin. So for instance, John Deere, which we'll talk about in just a second, their headquarters is not in the state of Wisconsin, but they have a great manufacturing presence here in Horicon, where they make the John Deere Gator. So as long as the product's made here, you qualify for the contest.
Okay, well, we're going to continue. We've got two more items of the final four to go here, and we're going to continue this discussion. And what do you think the coolest thing is made here in Wisconsin? And have you voted in this contest? I did. I'm not telling what I voted for, but I did vote. You can do, too, if you choose to do so, and we'll tell you how to do that and more as we continue our discussion here on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. What's the coolest thing made in Wisconsin? Well, that's not just a question, it's a contest put on by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Johnson Financial Group. Do you work in manufacturing? Did it bring you to Wisconsin? Why? What do you want people to understand about what you do? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and he joins us for this discussion. Okay, we've gone through half of the four finalists for this contest, and Nick, you said so far more than 150,000 votes have been cast to get us to this point?
Yeah, we had a very, very popular contest so far. A lot of folks are getting really excited about the contest, and we've already had thousands of votes in this final round as well. So, yeah, we're over 150,000 votes total, and we're inching closer and closer to that 200,000 mark every day here. So we're really glad that people are getting into this contest. For anyone who wants to vote, they can do so until Tuesday, October 9th. So that's this coming Tuesday at 12 noon, and they can go to madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com, and just take a look at the four finalists. It's a simple popular vote. Pick whichever one you think is the coolest, and you can vote once per day for device. So on your computer, on your iPhone, anywhere, you know, public library, you know, wherever you can get onto the internet there, please feel free to go to madeinwis.com and cast your vote for what you think is the coolest thing made in Wisconsin.
So far we've talked about a Kringle made here in Wisconsin and some adaptive clothing. That's a very clever piece of invention that's made here in Wisconsin. Next, we have something from John Deere in Horicon. Tell us what they've been nominated for.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of cool. This year we had the last couple of years, I think some of the finalists and winners have been brands that people throughout Wisconsin might really know. This year our four finalists, you know, I think John Deere is probably the one company that folks may really know and you know, recognize when they see that logo, whereas the other three maybe they're less familiar with. But John Deere up in Horicon, they have their Horicon Works facility, and they make make a variety of different things there, from lawn tractors to their Gator XUV utility vehicle. And so the Gator is what is in the top four this year for the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. Like I said, built right up in Horicon. And not only is this a really cool vehicle, great for folks who, you know, work in agriculture, or maybe if you're going hunting, or maybe if you're just up north and want to cruise around the trails, it's a really fun vehicle. But the way that they build this is actually really cool too. The John Deere factory in Horicon, they have actual robots that have learned the floor plan of the factory and drive around with the utility vehicles on them as they're being assembled and manufactured. And so instead of having maybe what you think of an old assembly line might look like, this is a big, bright, clean floor, clean area for the manufacturing space. And literally robots are just driving this Gator around as it's being built.
Well, just so robots don't start making Kringle, because I think that would just be... That would be wrong. We don't mind if they make other stuff, but we don't want them to make our Kringle, I don't think. Well, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here. So that's sounds like a really interesting vehicle. And if you've, Gators have been around for a while. And
fun fact, actually, their 25th year of production right now.
Yeah, 25 years. Wow, that's cool. So the final finalist, or the fourth finalist for the state's coolest product this year is Cardiac Science Corporation in Deerfield. What is it that they've entered?
So they have the PowerHeart G5 AED. So this is probably a machine that folks maybe have heard of, or maybe have seen when they're out at stores or restaurants or anything like that, but maybe don't think about every day. An AED machine is actually something that, if you go into sudden cardiac arrest or have a heart attack, it's something that can save your life. So this is similar to when you call 911 and the paramedics come. If you're having cardiac arrest, They put those paddles on you and shock you back to life. This is something that anybody can use. Cardiac Science Corporation and their PowerHeart G5 AED is extremely simple. It actually tells you exactly what you're supposed to do if someone does go into cardiac arrest and there's an emergency situation. So whether you're a kid or an adult, you can use it, and it comes in multiple different languages, and it's actually sold all around the world. And so this is a life-saving product that is made right here in the state of Wisconsin, and just a really great company, have with a high-tech product that we think is a really great to have. And actually, a little side note, as a part of WMC and our WMC Foundation, we have the Wisconsin Safety Council, which does safety training and sells safety products. One of the products that they sell is actually the Cardiac Science Corporation AED. So for manufacturers or other companies throughout the state, if they're wanting to make sure that they're fully prepared for an emergency situation, they can make sure that they have these AEDs on their premises. So in case anything ever goes wrong with one of their employees, they can be right there to save their life.
Well, maybe they could mount them on robots, and then the robots could just, take them around. I don't know. Maybe a little far-fetched. I read way too much science fiction. So there we have it. The final four manufacturers have been chosen after more than 150,000 votes have been cast. So what's the next step in the competition?
So we are coming right to the end here. We're getting really excited. On Tuesday, we're going to announce a winner. So actually, for folks who want to see live who the winner is, we're going to be announcing that on Tuesday at our State of Wisconsin Business and Industry Luncheon. That'll be in Madison at the Monona Terrace. Folks can go to WMC.org if they want to get tickets to that, to see who is the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin winner live. Voting will end around noon, so that's actually during the event. And so I'm sure there'll be some lobbying going on from the companies to make sure they're getting all those final votes in. And then as soon as the voting closes, about 45 minutes later, we will announce the winner live on stage. So we're getting pretty excited about it. And hopefully we'll have a lot of folks who are continuing to vote until Tuesday.
What does the winner get?
The winner gets bragging rights. I mean, this is simply a contest to highlight manufacturing in Wisconsin. Right now, we're in the month of October, which Governor Scott Walker has proclaimed as Manufacturing Month in Wisconsin. So we're highlighting our manufacturing industry all month long. That includes crowning the winner of the coolest thing made in Wisconsin. And in addition to bragging rights, they get a really, really cool trophy. We actually had EK Machine and EFCO Finishing. They put together our trophy this year, the third year in a row, and it is just absolutely beautiful. It's an obelisk that is a steel that they've actually shined up. You can see a reflection in it, and it's something that I think whoever the winner is will be really proud to display at their facility.
Well, it's good to know that the trophy was made in Wisconsin, too. That's,
oh, yes. Everything about this contest is made in Wisconsin. Even the ice sculpture that we'll have at our event, that you know, is probably a pretty cool product, also made right here in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Nick Novak, the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, about the contest known as the What's the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin. We've identified the four finalists. You can go and vote. And I am going to speak out of turn for our producers here and say that we put a link to the website where you can cast your vote someplace at WPR.org or on our Facebook page. It'll show up there probably with the program notes for this hour, but somebody else will take care of that. Oh, we'll make it happen. See, that's what I love about the crew here. Lots of products were nominated. Not all of them made the cut, obviously. What are some other unique things made in Wisconsin that didn't make the cut this year?
Well, I think we've talked about quite a few of them already, but just to name a few more, we had a generator that is made by Generac in Waukesha that actually is a home generator. It's Wi-Fi connected, so if anything goes wrong, it can automatically turn on and ensure your house is still being powered. And, you know, if there's, you know, flooding or anything like we've recently had, it can make sure that your sump pump is still running. So that's obviously a really great product. If you look over into Milwaukee, there's Briggs & Stratton. They had a lawnmower and some other products that they had submitted for the contest this year. There are hundreds of things that were nominated, but this is just a small portion. I mean, if you go to madeinwis.com, you'll be able to see all the nominees. We'll be putting those up there on the website shortly once we get the final winner here. But of the 160 nominees, that's just a small portion of all the things that are made in Wisconsin. We actually have about 94,400 manufacturers all throughout the state. So this contest could grow even more than just those 160 nominees. So hopefully next year we'll get to see even more products.
Well, if you'll divulge it, what to you is one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin?
Well, I have to stay, as impartial as possible here. So I think all the nominees that were put together, I know this is a non-answer, but all the products that are out there are really great. I think our final four is a really strong final four. They each have their strengths and are obviously completely different products when you look at them. I might be a little bit impartial to John Deere. You know, they have a product that I might want to take up on the trails up by our cabin up in northern Wisconsin, but I'm also partial to the AED machine and the Kringle's pretty good, and CC Moo has a great story and has a great product. So, it's just really hard to choose. So I guess we're gonna have to let the voters decide at madeinwis.com.
Well, and it is. I looked at it and I said, gosh, this is very difficult because these are all such interesting things. Wisconsin, of course, has long been known for its manufacturing, and tell us just how important manufacturing is to this state.
Well, manufacturing, it's our heritage here in Wisconsin. I think if you look back at our history, manufacturing is one of the biggest things that we have here. Obviously, agriculture as well, but manufacturing, we make $59 billion worth of products here in the state. That's about 20% of the state's GDP. So it's a huge, important part of our state.
We are going to continue our discussion about manufacturing in the state of Wisconsin and invite you to join us. Nick Novak is the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, Wisconsin has long been known for manufacturing. And as a way to recognize all the cool things we make here in the Badger State, the WMC has created a contest called What's the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin? And we're talking about that this hour on the morning show. What do you think is the coolest thing made in Wisconsin? If you work in manufacturing, let us know what kind of manufacturing do you do and why do you think it's meaningful here in the state? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Nick Novak is with us. He's the Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Okay, so we have been talking about this really cool contest, but manufacturing is a serious thing here in Wisconsin. It's a huge driver of the state's economy, as we've heard often. And so we need workers here in the state to take these manufacturing jobs. What kinds of education are critical for Wisconsin's manufacturers to make all these cool things and stay relevant as technology keeps shifting?
Well, I think that's something that we've been talking a lot about lately at WMC, and I know a lot of other folks in Wisconsin have been highlighting it, is you know, what types of education do you need? The tech college programs that we have here in the state, the apprenticeship programs that we have here in the state, those are a huge part of making sure that you know, young people coming out of high school or anyone else who maybe is looking for a career change or maybe is moving to Wisconsin, those are great programs that are helping to get folks into the manufacturing sector. As I said before the break, of every $5 that our Wisconsin economy produces, $1 of that is from manufacturing. And so there's a lot of opportunity here. Over 9,000 manufacturers throughout the state, about 470,000 people in Wisconsin work in manufacturing. So that's obviously a lot of jobs and a lot of great careers that are available out there. And the tech colleges, as I mentioned, they're doing a great job of preparing students for the careers that we have. But I'll also say that our UW system and our private colleges and universities, you know, manufacturing is more than just the folks who are maybe working in the facility building the actual product. You know, you need folks who are engineers, who are designing some of the products that we make here. I was actually at a manufacturer in the Milwaukee area a few weeks ago, Husco, which some people may have heard of. They actually build parts for auto manufacturers all across the world, and they not only design all of the parts that they make for these car manufacturers, but they actually design the machines that help to build the parts. And so, you know, there's so much that goes into manufacturing, and so I mean, really, all levels of education are important. But right now, I think tech colleges and some of those, you know, maybe non-4-year programs are really getting a lot of folks interested in there, because manufacturing pays better than the average job here in the state of Wisconsin, and there's so much opportunity. Manufacturing is only growing in the state. We actually added more manufacturing jobs last year than 48 other states, and so it's a growing industry. It's definitely our heritage. Manufacturing is a huge part of it, but I think the future of Wisconsin and our economy, manufacturing is going to continue to play a really big role.
Well, and you know, there's a lot about manufacturing that people don't know in this state. For example, that one of the industries in Wisconsin is found almost nowhere else in the world, and that is a company in Ashland that makes a machine that folds napkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things, and as I said, you need to have the folks who not only know how to make the final products, but you need the people who are designing that machine that folds those napkins. So it's a interesting industry.
And we had a caller who couldn't stay with us who said, don't forget about pool cues. We have there's a manufacturing company, I believe, in Kaukauna that does that. There's another one up north, I think, in Hagen. So, I mean, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that we make here that we don't really think about very much. One of the concerns in manufacturing is how vulnerable jobs are to automation. How are you seeing this play out in Wisconsin?
Well, I think that's a fear that a lot of people have, and I honestly have to think that it's a little bit of an unfounded fear, because while yes, there is a lot of automation that is happening in manufacturing, and there's a lot of technology that is going on in manufacturing right now, it's actually the opposite impact that we're having. So as I mentioned, in the last year, we've added more manufacturing jobs in Wisconsin than 48 other states, and the reason for that is because we have so much opportunity here that automation that we're seeing is actually creating more jobs. So yes, maybe someone who was working in a position that that could be automated, now that person can be retrained to learn how to run that robot that is moving one piece from one piece of the area to the next. And so there's new opportunities that are happening because of automation. Someone needs to design that robot. Someone needs to build that robot. We're actually going to be at Rockwell Automation tomorrow in Milwaukee. They're a company that helps other manufacturers to put automation into their manufacturing facilities, and they're actually just announced they're bringing more manufacturing jobs back to the city of Milwaukee, and they're actually also doing a program that is training veterans of our military to go into advanced manufacturing. So automation is creating new opportunity, and it's also changing what manufacturing is. Folks 30 years ago, they probably thought manufacturing was dumb, dirty, and dangerous, and that's just not the case anymore. Now if you look at manufacturing, it's high tech, it's high skill, and it's high pay. Manufacturing jobs pay about $57,000 a year, and that's about 20% higher than the average for all private sector workers in our state. So it's a great career opportunity for any young people today, who are trying to figure out, do I go to a four-year college? Do I go to a tech school? What are the job opportunities? Manufacturing is definitely a great option for them to consider, and I definitely suggest going into the industry.
Let's take a call here. Don is with us from Muskego. Don, go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. It's great to hear you guys talking about manufacturing. I've been working in manufacturing for the last 12 years myself. It's a very lucrative field. It's needed. And now I work for a distribution company, and I go into 100 different customers throughout my day. Well, not each day, anyway. And everyone's complaint is they can't find qualified workers to make these parts. And I think, from my experience, high school did not push manufacturing. They pushed four-year degrees and sports. Okay. And it's sickening how much they spent on sports and not on machines and
Don, I got to let you go because I want to give Nick a chance to respond. Were manufacturers struggling to find qualified workers in Wisconsin?
Manufacturers and all businesses really in Wisconsin are struggling. Our most recent survey that we did showed business leaders in Wisconsin showed that about 75%, actually a little bit more than three quarters of employers in the state are struggling to find workers, and a huge chunk of that is in the manufacturing industry. And Don, I think he brought up a really valid point that for a while, manufacturing maybe wasn't seen as a viable career option, and a lot of folks were pushing those four-year degrees. I'll say that we have a great relationship with the K-12 schools in Wisconsin and the tech colleges, and I really think that teachers and school counselors and parents hopefully are understanding that manufacturing is a viable option for young kids today, and that it shouldn't be seen as that, well, if you can't do this, I guess you can just go into manufacturing. Now it's seen as, oh no, you should go into manufacturing. That should be a number one pick for you, because it's a very lucrative career. It pays well. And one of the biggest things, I think we hear a lot about student debt nowadays, most folks who go into manufacturing, whether it be through the tech college or through an apprenticeship program, they are graduating with basically zero debt, and actually finding jobs that are, as I said, paying more than the average for all private sector workers here. So it's a really terrific opportunity, and I think that it's good to see so many high schools starting to really embrace it and get folks prepared for the jobs that we have available in Wisconsin.
All right. Remind us quickly one more time where people can learn more about the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition and cast their vote.
Sure. So voting goes until Tuesday, October 9th at 12 noon, and they can go to madeinwis.com, madeinwis.com. We're so excited that folks are going to figure out what the coolest thing is, and we'll be announcing that live on Tuesday around 12:45. So,
okay. And the morning show crew has put the link up, and you can go to WPR.org and find it. Nick Novak, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, appreciate it, John.
Nick Novak is Director of Communication and Marketing for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.